It is a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Fat Lever on today's show as we look towards tonight's game number three between the Suns and Nuggets. Fatty, of course, a great, great NBA player with Denver. Was an Arizona State Sun Devil. He's in a lot of Hall of Fames. He's involved with the NBA players now in the post-career stuff. So Fat Lever will be with us. We're going to talk about if you're guarding Chris Paul, if you're guarding Devin Booker and you're the Nuggets, what changes do you make tonight? Also, with the story coming out of Denver today that Jokic named the most valuable player, Fatty will give us some insight on that. It is a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Fat Lever on today's show as we look towards tonight's game number three between the Suns and Nuggets. Fatty, of course, a great, great NBA player with Denver. Was an Arizona State Sun Devil. He's in a lot of Hall of Fames. He's involved with the NBA players now in the post-career stuff. So Fat Lever will be with us. We're going to talk about if you're guarding Chris Paul, if you're guarding Devin Booker and you're the Nuggets, what changes do you make tonight? Also, with the story coming out of Denver today that Jokic named the most valuable player, Fatty will give us some insight on that. He does TV for Altitude in Denver as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Jokic is on my top of mind today with the game tonight because he was named the MVP, and it's a terrific story. This is the 41st pick in the NBA draft when he came out. In fact, the Suns passed on Jokic not once, but twice. And when you see that a name like Tyler Ennis was taken, who was a nice little guard, and that was that, and the Suns passed on him. In fairness, Ryan McDonough was the general manager. The year before, they drafted Alex Len. They thought that Alex Len would be all that in a bag of chips, which, of course, he wasn't. Another miss by the organization. But you look back on it and say, the Suns could have had Jokic not once but twice. But so could every other NBA team, at least taking him. And it goes back to the idea of these guys that run NBA franchises that think that they've got it all figured out. How many times do they miss on players? How does a guy who's the 41st pick out of Serbia become the NBA's MVP and he's only 26 years of age? That's it. He's 26. And so tonight, if you're going to the game, you're going to see the most valuable player in the NBA. It's not LeBron James. Maybe it would have been LeBron James had he played a full season, but he had injuries that cut him short. You know, to me, the most valuable player should be given to a guy who's out there day in and day out. Jokic was out there every game. Reward the guy. Do not give the most valuable player award just based on popularity contests. That's not good. Don't give it to players who take nights off. That's not good. Incentivize. Make these players say, you know what? I am not going to take a night of rest. I am not too well to attend, so to speak. I'm going to be in street clothes tonight because I just don't want to be out on the court. Then don't vote them MVP. Unless it's a case where a guy like Steph Curry didn't miss that many games this year. I don't have it in front of me, but he didn't miss that many games. So to me, even though he was on a team that made the playoffs, would he deserve some most valuable player votes? Absolutely. Joel Embiid missed a lot of games this year. Was he an MVP candidate? Yeah, but he missed a lot of games this year. And so I have to use that when I'm looking at most valuable player. And Jokic just didn't miss games. So I've got to throw that in and then everything else that he did. And on top of that, not having Jamal Murray, as the Nuggets don't have their best guard. And here they are in the playoffs in the second round. And they don't judge it off playoffs. I know that's regular season award, but Jokic deserved it. And that is the end of that. It's nothing against Chris Paul. Yeah, I'm here in Phoenix. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I have to have access to Chris Paul. So I'm going to say he should have been an MVP candidate. The only access we get to Chris Paul is on a Zoom. So I'm not one of those that needs to. And that's part of it. When you have these votes, don't think that the media doesn't vote for a guy in their hometown so that it doesn't get back to the guy that, hey, man, I voted for you, so give me access. That happens. And that's not right either. It's silly. You know, show up, be there when you rip them, be in front of their locker When you rip them, be in front of their locker again. And when you praise them, be in front of their locker. Don't be the guy that just tries to find ways that, oh, he'll come on my show because I'm not going to say anything bad about him. Things are bad, they're bad. When things are good, they're good. So Jokic deserved it. And I think, you know, tonight we've seen the comments of Mike Malone. I'm going to talk to Fat Lever about this shortly. I'm expecting the Nuggets tonight to come brawling in game two. I am. I'm expecting tonight to be much more physical. I'm expecting tonight to be a completely different tone and tenor out of Denver than it was in game number one. Nothing really happened the other night. The home team won. That's what's supposed to happen in the playoffs. Series don't change until a team ends up losing. So again, the pressure is on the Suns tonight. You do not want to take foot off the pedal, off the neck, and give Denver a chance to breathe tonight in game number two. And I'm going tonight. I'm very much looking forward to that. Let me think a few other things here before we get to Fat. I could do a whole rant on the Diamondbacks have now lost 18 straight road games, but I'll just leave it at that. No, you know what? I think I might rant on this a little bit. How much longer are we going to go through this? And yeah, I'm the guy in March that said, hey, Derek, you might want to extend Torey Lovello. I am that guy. I asked that question because you can't leave a manager just swirling in the wind. So one of two things has to happen here. They lost again last night. They've lost 20 of 22. They have the worst record in baseball. The Diamondbacks are on pace, and I said I wasn't going to ramp it. Here we go. They're on pace to lose 110 games this year. So at what point do you just start dropping bodies off and saying, okay, we're going to move these guys now? Because if you wait till all the way up to the deadline, you're going to have teams that are going to say, yeah, we're not going to give you our best offer. All right. So you can look at it one of two ways. Either the Diamondbacks are going to say, we're going to pare this thing all the way down to the ground, and David Peralta, you're going to get traded. And go right down the list of guys and look at and say, we're not moving Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen is our future. Madison Bumgarner, we're going to move you right now to a contender. But this, I mean, 18 straight road games. I was listening to Mike Farron last night driving home. I went to a movie last night, more than that in a minute. But poor Mike, these announcers deserve hazard pay because, you know, they're there to sell the team. They're there to wave the flag, how great everything is. And I've been in those spots before, and it's just painful. It's just when you're trying to get through it, and in my space, it's like, no, these guys blow. Okay, so at some point we have to say, okay, we know they stink, and now let's support them. Go back and see what we did around the Suns in 1995. And one of my moments in my career, I look back and say, it was really dumb that you did that, but it was a lot of fun. We just lived outside the arena for 10 days because the team was so bad and people knew it, and I just got tired of talking about it, so I just said, I'm staying here until they win a game. And it happened. It was fun. It was just kind of silly. But I saw a movie last night, and then we'll get to Fat. So going to a movie theater last night, they spaced us out. It was a screening for the new Lin-Manuel Miranda film. And it was very, very good. It was good just to be out. It was terrific. It had been, 15 months since I'd been out, and it was a great time. So I encourage you to get out and see some movies because it's normal. Space Jam's coming next month, by the way. One of their PR people pulled me aside on that. All right, Fat Lever is next on tonight's game. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. All right, as promised, I wanted to do a deep dive with Fat Lever, and I have not seen Fat. We're talking before we started this little get-together. It's been a few years, it's been a minute, as my kids would like to say, since I've seen him. And it's great to have him back on board because here is a great Denver Nugget. You had your jersey retired with the Nuggets. I remember you were put in the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. How many Hall of Fames are you in?
Probably not the biggest one, but the Arizona, the Colorado, and definitely the Tucson Hall of Fame. So jersey retired in Denver, retired at ASU, gymnasium in Tucson. So I'm a local kid in sports that did something pretty good.
I'd say so. Pueblo High School. And from there to here, what are you doing these days before we get into the Nuggets and Suns? What are you doing now?
Well, Brad, now I'm overseeing the Legends of Basketball, which is an umbrella Phoenix chapter version of the National Basketball Retired Players Association. So I oversee that, and it's a nonprofit organization here with all the other retired basketball players, including Adrian Strong, Stevie Coulter, Mark West, Bob Lanier, all the guys that are retired here. So we still do our philanthropic give back to the programs, summer camps, clinics. And one of the things that we do right now is our Laptops for Learning program, where we go back to the inner city kids and deserving kids that need computers with this pandemic being at home. We're providing laptops for a lot of those kids.
That is awesome. And that is something that clearly is desperately needed right now. If you put those legends together that you mentioned, I know Daddy Mark West can't golf worth a lick. I know Bob can hit it a ton, but he'll hit it north and south rather than east and west. So who's the best of the legends here in town on the golf course, Fat?
Without question, Trug Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Trug can hit it straight. He knows where it's going. He can find it. The rest of the most of the time. So Trug is by far, in my mind, based on playing with him, the best golfer. I know Eddie Johnson is one of those straight hitters too.
Yeah.
But I think Eddie's one of those guys to take you out of your game because he's talking during your swings. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those masters at manipulating. But Eddie's not too far behind Trug, but I would say Trug Robinson's probably the top.
I had EJ on yesterday. I think I got two questions in 20 minutes, but you know, it's the way it goes with EJ. And he'd love it and he'd admit to it. Fat Lever's with us for a couple of minutes. So, you had your jersey retired with the Nuggets in 2017. You've done work with Altitude, so you know what's going on up there. Game two is tonight. What are you expecting differently out of the Nuggets tonight?
The biggest thing from the Nuggets tonight will be their aggressiveness. They've got to get out and run from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. They can't wait and get into a half-court set. The first game in Phoenix was just a fill-out game. You know, everybody talks about, hey, we want to see what's going to happen during those games. But now they know what's going to happen. When I say they, the Nuggets, they've bounced back so many times this season. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, they haven't lost back-to-back games and throughout the season. So they're known to be able to make those adjustments. And one of the things that I really love about this Nugget squad is their depth. Even though Jamal Murray's out, Will Barton's out, a lot of big guys are out, but you still haven't seen a lot of Paul Millsap and didn't see the best of himself as far as Michael Porter Jr. goes. He may be a little hurting, but at the same time, I think he'll be ready to come back. And knowing Coach Malone, he's strictly looking at the defensive end first to get out and run, get some easy baskets in this game tonight.
I felt like he called out Aaron Gordon indirectly yesterday and Michael Porter Jr. about being soft without saying the word soft. And he did use the word soft, but not like they are directly. So I think he challenged his team a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you saw those comments or not, but it sounded like he got on their case.
Brad, Coach Malone challenges you, everyone, even Jokic, from the standpoint he'll hug you and kiss you and congratulate you, but indirectly he'll challenge you in the media, and he's done that with us many a times. But he will also challenge the guys in person, not to take anything away from them, but to know that they can do better. And especially someone like Michael Porter Jr., who's a great, great offensive player that I haven't seen anything like him since George Gervin. And so one of the guys that he would challenge, someone like Paul Millsap, who's not playing many minutes. And when he gets into the game, Coach Malone expects him to use his leadership and his being a veteran to be able to push guys without insulting them. And then you brought up Aaron Gordon. Aaron really had a pretty decent game. He just didn't do the hard fouls, that the N1s that you want guys to get. If you're going to foul, make sure they don't get the N1s. And that's one of the things that Coach Malone is really stressing in this series against Phoenix, because, you know, Aiden is so strong that if you foul him and it's a soft foul, he's going to get the N1. And Coach Malone doesn't want that.
Yeah, they had eight and ones in game number one, the Suns did. So that makes a lot of sense. Fat Lever's with us for a few minutes, the great Sun Devil, among other honors. So let's get into Jokic for a bit. I'm looking at who the Suns picked and how they passed over, and every team passed over, for the 41st pick in the NBA draft. What is it that Denver saw in him that others didn't? Or was it just, you know, he's a big who's sitting here at 41. Let's go back to when they took him.
Well, I think everyone looked at his overall size and body shape, and that was not a NBA type of a body for the position and the way the game is played. Even if you go back and look at his childhood upbringing as a kid, and now look at some of his junior high school, middle high school team photos going back to Serbia. And those are guys like, maybe you should go play baseball. Maybe you should be on the line of the football team or something like that. But as he developed at a younger age and his brothers challenged him to get the player that he is, he's definitely the MVP. We know that now. But at the same time, he's one of those guys that doesn't take the game too seriously, but he takes the game so seriously that it bugs him to lose a game or to miss a shot. So those are the intangibles that scouts overlook, miss C. But when you get him in a camp, not just 1 week or 2 weeks, but it's taken him time to develop. And the Nuggets have given him time to develop. And that development has paid off, not just for Jokic, but for the team and the players that plays with him, because he's the greatest guy to play with and most giving guy on and off the court for the Nuggets.
He's only 26, Fat. And I'm watching him and just saying, oh, my goodness, what's he going to be like when he's 28 and 30? And, yeah, the wear and tear of the league will get to you eventually. But we're talking about someone who's really on the front end of going into places that you're in already and your career is done. But he's even bigger places.
Oh, without question, he's a Hall of Famer. And become the first Denver Nugget ever to win an MVP is something in itself. But I always congratulate him back when he passed me in all my triple doubles at the Denver Nuggets and the stats and things of that nature. And then when you talk to his teammates, those are the things that they're more than happy to talk about. And when you see him run through the locker room and playing with his teammates, those things. So the stats that he's going to put up are going to be way above most guards. But the big guys, he may not have the block shots, but he'll have the rebounds. He'll have the points. He'll have the assists. And then he'll have something that a lot of the normal good players don't have. And those are the trick shots. The things that surprise you is like, where did that come from? How did he do that?
Yeah.
Why would you even attempt it when you're a 7 foot center and you're out there shooting threes like it's a free throw?
Yeah. No, it's like when Steve Nash was here with the Suns, he would go practice all those crazy shots in the gym and then they'd show up just out of nowhere. And that's not something that just happens. You have to have that creativity and that mind to be able to take some chances. So, no, I get that. Before I get you out of here, you're lined up across from Devin Booker. You're lined up across from Chris Paul. You're trying to slow those guys down. What is it you're seeing that you would be trying to do against them to get them out of rhythm that they were in the other night, in particular Chris Paul, Fat?
Well, Chris Paul is that old veteran that he's going to do just like Jokic. You stop him from doing one thing, he's going to come up with another trick out of his bag. So what you have to do is make sure that they stay in the game plan that you have set for the team. If you're going to double team every side pick and roll, do it aggressively. If you're going to go under every screen against Chris Paul, make sure that the big guy is going to show tough enough to get it. And then for someone like Aiden, when you look at those guys, you got to make sure you keep him off the board. Those are the things that Coach Malone is going to stress and go back and look at the films and say, hey, here's what they're going to do at this point in time. And if we don't do this, they're going to kill us. And then on the defensive end, the Nuggets want to get stops, get out. And that's where Michael Porter really shines, because if you keep him in a half court set on the defensive side, he's going to get everybody layups and it's going to make it tough for the other defensive players for the Nuggets.
It's good stuff. It's good to see you. It's great to hear you're doing such good work here in the Valley and doing stuff with the Legends of Basketball. I appreciate the time, Fat. Thanks.
Anytime, Brad. Let's do it. We'll work together on some other projects.
There you go. There's Fat Lever, and we will. And we're back with more after this timeout.